All right, well, this weekend I want to do some looking back as we look ahead into the 24th year of our fellowship, when what we now call Impact Christian Fellowship first got started. It was just a home group with no intention of becoming a church. However, a year into it, through a variety of circumstances, the Lord helped them see that they were indeed a church. And then at Graham Cook's suggestion, they decided on the name Impact, because the hope was for this fellowship of believers to impact the Hill Country and beyond with the love of Jesus. In the early days, after having met in homes and then hotels, Impact met on Sunday nights in another church building across town. And then after this property was purchased, and after getting through some hassles from the city related to building a church on these 12 acres, the first building over there was completed in August of 2002. And on the first weekend of September, they invited Graham Cook to come for a dedication weekend. Cindy and I and our kids were invited, and we came down from Fort Worth. And much to our surprise, and everybody's surprise, a year later we came back and began pastoring here, because that was not in the cards when we came that September. Truth is, they had asked us to come 3 months before that, but the Lord hadn't released us from Fort Worth, and so we'd said no. And for me, that was the end of the story. We'd said no. But what I didn't know is God had told them, wait one more year. He'll be here one more year. And they waited, and God did it, and praise the Lord for that. Well, on that first weekend of September 2002, Graham shared a word that became a prophetic foundational blueprint. From the time I first got here all the way to today, the things that Graham shared have helped shape the direction we've gone as Impact developed and grew for the last 20 years. Here's some of what Graham said that day. He said, I want to say something prophetic to the church here, just some things that I believe that God has set aside for you in this region. It's no coincidence that you've had a real struggle even just to survive. The journey has been one where God has humbled you intentionally, taught you how to hold on, to learn how to fight and be faithful, and to hang in there. I believe the enemy has been obstructive in so many ways, but who cares? We have our building and we're in. So we've learned how to persevere, and that's good, because we're going to learn to persevere at a deeper level, and that'll be good. He said, I want to tell you this. It's through your love for God and one another that you're going to win the hearts of this community. Right. What you are here in this body, the community around you will become. Think about that for a minute. There's a promise there. If you will put the first commandment and the second commandment together and be governed by them, what you become as a house, this whole community will tumble into. That's a big promise, eh? It's a huge thing. You can't put any walls on that thing. I'm not going to unpack it any more than that, because to do so would be to put limitations around it. But the potential is endless. Can you get your head around this? The level of love and friendship amongst you, that is what will be prevalent out there. The spirit that's in here will actually invade the whole community. No stranger, no alien out there, but people who know how to care for each other. We can impact the whole community. There's an anointing on you to bless the community, and you need to be aware of that and conscious of that. You can bless the righteous acts that are in this community. It's interesting that a religious church only has the power to judge the community. They judge things. They stand against things. But a church that knows how to be kingdom knows how to be family. You have the power to bless the community into becoming righteous. What you bless out there gets blessed. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's real power there. It's blessing that separates the righteous from the wicked, not judgment. It's the blessing of God that leads to repentance. Judgment never caused anyone to repent. Blessing makes a repenter of even the hardest heart. You should be walking around this whole community saying, what is it that you want us to bless in our community? Interesting, eh? Power to bless this community. Use it consciously. Use it wisely. One thing the Lord wants you to stand for, and you will stand for, is unity in this whole community. And the Lord says to you, be diligent to promote unity and to pursue it. There's a profound spirit of unity upon you guys for the sake of the kingdom. You need to write it into your hearts. Other churches matter. Other churches matter. What they think of you is irrelevant. What you think of them matters. They are your brothers and your sisters. How can we bless them? How can we give to them? How can we dig out a well and make sure that in every church the water level rises? How can we help other churches to prosper? What can we do to support them? You're going to be a house of prayer. You're going to be a place of worship. You're going to be a training center. It's going to be a place where leaders in the area get developed. It's going to be a place where people get trained and equipped for the prophetic and for healing. You need to learn to sit and to walk and to stand in the majesty of God, because there's coming a mercy that will flow out of this place that will touch the hearts of this community. This building is the first fruits of who you are, the first fruits of your faith. It's a tangible expression. We know we can do this because we've done it. You're going to grow outrageously. It may not be long until we're building a different building on the property. Who knows? Beloved, you've demonstrated you have something in the spirit. We have to find a way of bringing out the best in each other. That's going to be our joy. That's going to be our pleasure. That word, over impact, is 20 years old. But it's as relevant and timely today as it was on the day that Graham shared it over there in that building. This foundational blueprint reveals the roots of who we are, even as it highlights many things God is still doing among us today. That first building was built debt-free by less than 100 people. And that different building, that's where we're at today. We grew into here in December of 2006. And by God's grace, we paid off a $2.1 million note in 7.5 years. And we've been debt-free ever since. Yeah, so amazing. Graham was back with us March 2010, and on that weekend, he shared another word that we now call the power of instead. Here's some of what Graham shared that day. The Lord anoints you to swing the bat against everything negative that's in your life. And his word to you is, I am is with you. I am is with you. And you will overcome, and you will rise up, and you'll be overwhelmed by a new season of heaven. And you will see the truth and the power and the majesty of the gospel at work in your life. And the truth will set you free. Every problem has a promise. Every difficulty has a blessing. Every curse has a prophecy attached to it. Everything that is against you, I will give you something else instead. I'm going to teach you to move in the opposite spirit. You will rise up in this time, in this season, and become a warrior, become a fighter, become an overcomer, become more than a conqueror. And you will see God in ways that you never would have imagined. The Holy Spirit will train you to embrace blessing, to embrace goodness, to embrace all that God is doing in and through the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And the power of instead will wash away our negativity, never to return. We will export this every place we go. Our places where we work and our businesses will become places where God does something different instead. We're going to go to a new level of anointing and relationship with God instead of where we've been. We'll have a hallmark of heaven upon us because Jesus deserves that. And we're going to give it to him because he's so worth it. Amen. I believe that word is still active over us, even though it's 12 years old. And cultivating the spiritual discipline of looking for God's instead is still a powerful, life-giving opportunity that God has opened to all of us. 4 years ago, we celebrated our 20th anniversary, and Graham sent us another prophetic word on video. And I want just to watch that this morning. Here's what he said.
You're one of the best communities I know for following up on all that God is saying and doing. We realize together there's no breakthrough without real follow-through in partnering with God. So from a prophetic viewpoint, impact has always been not only good soil to prophesy into, but also hot soil that can take an investment in seed form and grow it into its fullest realization in the Spirit. So I know that this prophetic word will receive all the necessary care, faith, prayer, and diligence from this leadership that all previous words have received. So, here goes. There is a quickening spirit upon the Impact community, not only for Impact itself, but for everyone it influences and resources. This is a resource where explorers, warriors, pioneers, champions and game changers will flourish, be renewed, upgraded and repositioned in the kingdom. Men and women with a passion to overcome, who can receive under pressure and learn to flow in fullness and abundance. In a world full of chaos and pain, heroes will be raised up in this community who will make a difference in a difficult time. I think it's already happening. There is another increased level of favor on this house that will spread to a variety of houses that are local, regional, national, and global. I see a rising number of investors, entrepreneurs, inventors, patent holders that God will resource to ever-increasing levels. This is a Bethlehem and a Nazareth community. Unprecedented favor, outrageous presence of God. Powerful, wise, abundantly blessed. I think impact is an enigma that attracts attention. A place for dreaming, for renewal, and for upgrades. A place to receive freedom, a house of divine advantage, a sanctuary city. I see more land coming. I see a hotel, restaurants, stores, new business for a key community. It's going to be wild, attractive, head-scratching growth. Because a way has opened up in the heavens. A single lane of heavenly traffic will become a highway of growth and then a freeway of quickening and an acceleration leading to like an interstate proclaiming God's goodness everywhere. You are an Isaiah 35 community who will have the same anointing throughout your region and beyond. A simple, childlike, wonderful, glorious relationship with the kingdom that will overflow wherever you go. I see five generational moves of God on and through impact. Firstly, a generation of Daniels, Esthers, Samuels, Deborahs, Calebs, and Marys emerging from birth to seventh grade. Children with all the promises of an adult generation built into their DNA. They will have a Samuel anointing. They will know God from an early age and they'll never fall away. So expect a move of God constantly. Parents partnering with the Spirit on behalf of their children to help them develop trust in the nature of God. It's going to be a presence generation able to hear God. An encouraging generation with a prophetic voice. Secondly, I see a teenage generation who prepare the way of the Lord, who will have a radical influence on an age group that's been targeted for destruction. A generation of dreamers, explorers of Jesus, who are the champions of the future in the present. I see promises flooding into this community of young giants. They will have huge spiritual resources to navigate their way through the world. They'll be a powerful force in music and the arts. They will be creative, powerful, and focused. Thirdly, I see a millennial generation who are pioneers and game changers, who will move in a new way to do a new thing. They will restore the kingdom to the world in all its fullness. This is a prophetic generation to all groups, a new breed of kingdom leaders who will reinvent church to pioneer and be first in everything. They will change the way that church operates. They will be resourced through business because they are an entrepreneurial generation, beholden only to God. Not living with a hand out to receive, but positioned to give and resource. They are a cross-pollinating generation with ideas, plans, and purposes to create a new thing. They'll be working with other generations to create and provide catalytic focus for new things to happen. Fourthly, I see there's a powerful renewal on the 40 to 60 age group. They're a life-giving community operating in supernatural faith, an apostolic power across all boundaries, unlimited, unconfined, with a radical edge that will create new frontiers for where heaven meets earth. This is a possibilities community that will overwhelm a problem-focused generation. People who move in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This group has huge growth potential in ideas, inventions, and patents. Like the millennial generation, they are catalysts for creative business opportunities. They're going to have a new lens, a new mindset, and a completely different language that will position them to lead with power and precision. Clear-eyed, unbound. New ways of seeing, thinking, and resourcing for a range of communities and generations. And the fifth move of God is on the 60-plus generation who've got the most to gain from a quickening spirit. You guys have a reward coming for your faithfulness and your giving. There is an anointing on health, vitality, wholeness, and spiritual power. The Lord says, ask what you will. You are a generation who have favor in the eyes of the Lord, a generation with present and future promise. You will not go into eternity without sending glory to God ahead of you. Guys, it's not just about you finishing well. It's about you starting over. You're moving into something new also. You are game changers for an older generation who have been sidelined by the world. The best is yet to come. You will change the status quo for your people group. You will partner across the generations as advisors, catalysts, prophetic encouragers, and prayer warriors. You will have influential power and wisdom in society, in local government, in state government, in business, and in the not-for-profit community. God, on your behalf, is turning the clock back so that you can take back what was taken from you. You are a steadfast community from the youngest to the eldest. And God is making a way where there is no way. So let me pray for you. Father, raise impact to a higher level of frequency in the Spirit. I pray they will all cause a shock to the world system, that they will be on a collision course with a poverty spirit that will cause shockwaves of favor and blessing to be released. I ask for a powerful impartation of your astonishing favor to rest on every soul and cause them to punch above their weight in every battle. And I ask that for Jesus and his glory. Amen. David, have fun unpacking that one.
So Cindy and I met Graham in September of 1996. And this week last week Graham celebrated 50 years of ministry. And we've known him for half of that time. And he's known Impact for half of that time. The unpacking thing, when Graham, we met him in Fort Worth, and then he'd come to our church and he gave words to our church there, and then he's given words to the church here. And the unpacking thing for me is taking those words and then diving into the word and, okay, where is that in the Bible? What does that mean? What exactly does that mean? And then if we find it there, but how do we live it? How do we become those words so it's not just something that's sitting out there? And I have had fun unpacking this word right here. I did a 6-week series, September to October of 2018, on just what in the world does he mean when he says you're an Isaiah 35 community? And that was a phrase I hadn't heard before. So that series is still online. You can look that up. In 2019, we started the year and we highlighted each one of the five generational words. And we're speaking into what we see God doing and had different people from each one of those groups speaking into what that means and what they saw that looking like. We've had five Vacation Bible Schools now, and we've have followed the way he said them. Daniel, Esther, Caleb, Deborah. I mean, we just followed right along that was in that word. And guess what? Even all the COVID mess in 2020 couldn't stop the five generational move that's taking place among us. And so many of the things that we do today, it's beautiful to see five generations working, growing, learning, and serving together in the Lord. A little more than a year ago, I felt the Lord gave me a heads up about an opportunity for a double portion increase coming our way in our 24th year. Like I shared last weekend, the double portion part may end up being reflected in the number of people who come to Impact for a worship service or to be part of one of our many groups or gatherings. But I believe this increase is more about something God wants to bring into our individual lives that can then spill over into what's going on inside the walls and within the scope of our ministry here at Impact. Last weekend, I focused on some clear action-based instructions given in Isaiah 54. Bear and rejoice. Enlarge, stretch, do not hold back, lengthen, and strengthen. The Lord didn't speak any of those words to Isaiah as suggestions. They are all choices, but each of them was spoken to Isaiah as a non-optional command that I think still resonates into our day today. And every time we choose to obey God's written and rhema words, new opportunities and blessings open up to us and through us. I believe our obedience in these things will position us to receive and participate in double portion increase that God has in his heart for each of us. So let me briefly re-highlight each one of them, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together before we finish. Bear and rejoice. In the Hebrew, this is a call for a loud, joyful noise. It's also an opposite spirit response. It looks past the moment towards a divine, generational, exponential increase on the way. Regardless of any circumstance, bad, good, or indifferent, we all need to be people whose lives are grounded in gratitude. Gratitude brings us into the presence of the Lord. Expressed gratitude opens our eyes to many of the ways that God is at work in and around and through our lives every day. It is God's will for each of us to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. How instinctive gratitude becomes in our lives will open or close the doors to much of the increase that God has in mind. Philippians 4, Paul wrote, "In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Listen, thanksgiving is a game changer. When we come before the Lord with our prayers, with our petitions, with our requests, we can come grumbling, whining, moaning, and complaining. See how that works for you. But when we season that with, man, this is a hard place right now, but I thank you that you've got me. And I've been in hard places before and you took me through. I'm not liking this at all. This is no fun at all. But you experienced that too. And this is the way I get to know a little more about you. Because when you were here, you did a lot. Thank you, Lord, that you came and you lived. You were tested, tempted, tried in every way just me. But you didn't sin. You're strengthening me to walk with you and learn more about you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, this situation seems too overwhelming, too big. But I thank you that nothing's too big for you. Nothing's impossible for you. I thank you that if I'm concerned about it and I'm caring about it, you're concerned and caring about it. And you have an answer and there's things you want to speak to. When you start praying like that, instead of grumbling, whining, and complaining, when we present our request to God like that, it changes the way we pray, and it changes the outcome of where we find ourselves ending up on the other side of situations. Enlarge the place of your tent, which also came to me as get a new campsite. In our daily lives and choices, we have the fresh opportunity to become bigger places spiritually. rather than settling for what we know now, rather than staying with predictable routines that we see as manageable, why not make room for the more of God he wants to send our way? Amen. Actually, he pulled a fast one on this morning. We already sang, I will make room for you. And he said, I got you. Okay, I heard that. Yep, you said it. You said it. He's going to hold us to that. And, you know, all of Graham's prophetic words that I've shared today, they all include a call to enlarge. It's not something new in God's heart, but it sure does seem to be a repeated point of emphasis for us. Stretch your tent curtains wide. In addition to this being an admonition to walk in greater levels of vulnerability and transparency and humility with each other, this stretching also involves a purposeful, intentional reaching out to become a fuller expression of who God has created to be so that we can do more of what God has created us to do. It's a deliberate stepping out of our comfort zone and a stepping into the more extensive expanses of God's grace. Our daughter Faith is over in Albania. She had teacher training this last week. But in the midst of that, she wrote something, and I want to share it with you. The comfort of the familiar, like so many things, is a paradox. It is a help, and it is a snare. More and more, I am aware that to learn, I have to first acknowledge my ignorance, which feels like lack to me, but is actually an opportunity to let God be God, and to let myself receive, and to let others with wisdom teach me what they know. Amen. If I only do what I know how to do, I become stagnant, a stagnant pond or a statue, or a puppet to my comforts and my familiar world, falling under the lull of the control of knowing. God of all comfort in context means he is truly kindred with us in our suffering, or rather, we may be kindred with his. The comfort is in the acknowledgement of the end of what I once held as the substance of me. For once that has ended, I live in Christ and he in me. The shepherd's voice is meant to be familiar. We should know him when he calls and whispers. Know the peace that cuts through our understanding and stand up under the covering of his love. So good, so good. That girl, oh man, the stuff that girl gets is amazing. So encouraging, so inspiring. Enlarge, stretch, and do not hold back. We're called to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And none of that sounds like halfway effort to me. Who better deserves our all in than the Lord? One time when the disciples were sent out by Jesus, he told them, freely you have received, so freely give. Remember, all the way into our day, Jesus is more interested in our availability than whatever we perceive or consider to be our ability. I've been leading worship for many, many years, and somewhere back there in the past, I don't even know when, but came up with the phrase NHB, NHB, no holding back. And pretty regularly before worship times, I'll speak to the different people on the worship team, NHB, because when you get up here and you're singing and you're leading worship, even for a great group of people like this, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you deal with. Am I ready to do this? Am I doing good? What's harmony part am I supposed to sing? What note are we supposed to sing here? What's going on? Is this going all right? All these different thoughts, things that can cause you to shrink back. But again, whenever we're worshiping the Lord, on the stage or in the room, the truth of the matter is we're worshiping an audience of one. And he deserves our wholehearted attention and focus and worship. So NHB, do not hold back in your worship of the Lord. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. I think the key idea here revolves around learning to live as an expression of the circle of relationship that has always existed in God. When we choose to remain in the vine and continue in God's love, we will find more ways to be involved in each other's lives. And some of those will be big, but most of them will probably seem small and insignificant. But they all add up to each of us walking out a fulfillment of Jesus' new command, love each other as I have loved you. I believe we've all walked right into a fresh opportunity to partner with God and believe him to increase us beyond what we can think or hope or imagine. God is fully committed to constantly renewing the spirit of our minds with fresh mental and spiritual attitudes. And through new breakouts and bigger breakthroughs, God wants to expand our capacity to receive and release more of his mercy, goodness, and love. And to that end, here's a good simple prayer we can pray every day. Lord, open my eyes to see what you want me to see today. Lord, open my eyes to see what you want me to see today. As we start to wrap things up, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. It's a perfect way for us to begin the next year of our fellowship. Not only is it an expression of the new covenant relationship that we have with God, but taking it corporately emphasizes the oneness that we share together as part of the body of Christ. In a corrective word to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul called them and us away from every division as well as away from any insensitive selfishness. And he called them and us into a more honoring expression, recognition, and practice of life in the body of Christ. He also strongly encouraged every person to examine ourselves before we eat the bread and drink the cup. In the message it says, examine your motives, test your heart, and then come to this meal in holy awe. So let's pause just a moment so that we can do that. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And we open ourselves up to you even more. Jesus, again this morning, we say thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for calling us together in your name and for your name's sake. Now ask the Lord to speak to you. And if some conviction comes, don't shrink back from that. Something that you're doing or not doing, something that you've done or not done, something that's out of order that just needs to be done. Don't shrink back from that. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But this is a serious moment with the Lord. And if he's bringing it to your mind right now, it's because it can be dealt with, done, and forgiven. So just process with the Lord. Let him speak to you. Let him show you anything that needs to be dealt with before we go one step further in this observance. Now let the Holy Spirit identify your gratitude level and ask him for and receive an upgrade. Let God evaluate the size of your campsite and be willing to move. Yes. And be willing to make more room for God so that we can be more of who he's created us to be and do more of what he's created us to do. Surrender to being stretched out of your comfort zone, as well as stretched out of the control of knowing. Choose to let go of reluctance, doubt, and unbelief and say yes to going all in for and with God. Commit to doing your part to be more involved in a circle of relationship with other people. And say yes to being more deeply rooted and established in God's love. And say yes to absolutely knowing God's love that surpasses knowledge, so that we can be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Yes, Lord. Yes. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he gathered with his disciples in the upper room. They thought they were just going to be celebrating another Passover, but Jesus had something completely different in mind. He knew it was ahead. They did not. He had told them several times it was coming, but they couldn't see it, but he knew. And as they shared the elements that had been so familiar, he revolutionized them, and he took them to another level of meaning and spoke to them about how delighted he was to share that meal with them and that he would share it again with them, but it'd be on the other side when they would share that together. And he still looks forward to that day, that great wedding feast of the Lamb. And on that night, they had real bread. Today, we've got, I don't know what that is. But peel back that top and get that little wafer out of there. On the night when Jesus was sharing with his disciples, he broke the bread, he gave thanks, and he told them, "This is my body that is broken for you." And when Paul was writing to the church in Corinthians, he reminded them to do this in remembrance of Jesus. So I want to encourage you just to lift that before the Lord, thank him for his body. And then I think it's powerful to break it, because his body was broken for us, that we could be saved and transformed. And then eat it in remembrance of Jesus. And then in the same way, Jesus took the cup and he lifted it up and he gave thanks. And he said, "This cup is my blood." It's the blood of a new covenant. It's the blood of Jesus that heals, saves, delivers. It's the blood of Jesus that makes it possible for every one of us to come before the Father any time of the day or the night, whether we're on our best behavior or our worst behavior, because the blood of Jesus has paid for it all and paid the way for us to have access to God. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he told them, "Each time you drink this cup, you should remember Jesus." So let's remember him as we drink it this morning. Why don't you stand together? I want us to do something just a little different before we're done today. I want us just to begin to pray together out loud, just quietly at first, and then I think it'll ramp up a little bit as we go, but just whatever's in your heart to the Lord, just express your heart to them, but out loud all together at the same time. Let's go. Let's just raise our voices a little more. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you. Let's take it up another level. Lord, we thank you for your plans and your purposes. You are way ahead of us and you're calling us. You've seen us in the future. We look much better than we do right now. You're calling us into a place. We say yes to double portion increase. We say yes to all that you want to do in our lives, with us, in us, and through us. Here we are, Lord. Here we are. Use us every way you can. Let us be used to bring you honor. Let us be used to bring you glory. Lord, in our homes, in our businesses, in the schools, wherever you send us, let us be the light and the salt that you've called us to be, where we want to live to honor you. We want to be a blessing to you. We want to live under your smile and under the freedom of your smile and your goodness. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen. Amen.